This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Well, if you're still hearing this, the apocalypse hasn't happened yet. But for a look at what's going to happen, I recommend Hulu's The Handmaid's Tale. It's actually really incredible if you haven't watched it yet. It's so stunning. Elizabeth Moss is amazing in it, but it's also slightly traumatizing because it doesn't feel like speculative fiction, and it does not feel like science fiction, and it does not feel like it is the future. It feels like it is the now, which is a little concerning. So just, you know, take care of yourself before you watch it. My guest today is another sex educator from all the way over on the East Coast, and we are going to dig into all things polyamory, BDSM, and sex. Let me tell you about her. Lola is a storyteller, sex educator, and the creator and host of the live sex Q&A / go-go show and podcast, Sex Ed A Go-Go. During the last 6 years, she has shared her distinctive brand of kick-ass body and sex positivity and her personal journey into the kink and poly lifestyles, both on and off stage. I am so lucky to have her on today because she's usually booked on a Friday night. Let's face it. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Lola.
Hi.
Hi.
Technically, I am booked. My boo is sitting in the living room right now, but he was so, like, cool about it. I was like, so.
That's nice. See, I knew you'd be booked. You see, you are booked. So we last saw each other. I was in New York. Was it during She? Or was it a second time?
No, it was in February. We saw each other at, what was it called? I forget.
Oh my God, it was called Sex Party, actually, which is very ironic because we went to an event called Sex Party in Brooklyn, and but it was not a sex party.
No sex. Sad. Of course, my house phone is ringing.
Oh my God, it's funny. Which is just so funny because, like, seriously, when someone invites me to something called a sex party, like, I only have one expectation. But it was actually an interesting party that showcased the work of up-and-coming sex and tech companies all owned and run by women.
Yes. Yeah. Which was really cool. But every time I told someone where I was going, I got these looks like, wait, what?
Right. Oh, you're going to a sex party, but not a sex party. Yeah. Okay, so I want to introduce you to everyone. I want everyone to know everything about you. Of course, everything that you're willing to share with consent, of course.
Everything.
So I guess I want to start with kink. I'm just fresh off International Ms. Leather. Kink is on the brain. I just had Boot Blacks on my last show, and we talked a lot about boot blacking and kink. And so how did you come to be kinky? And how do you identify within kink?
Ooh, how did I... Origin story time. Let's see. I kind of feel like it was accidental. Maybe not accidental. Like in high school, I did kinky things. Like now I look back and I was like, I was really kinky as a teenager. But I didn't know it was kink. I didn't, you know, it didn't register. It was just like, we're just fucking around. And then as an adult, I went through that stage of feeling like I needed to be monogamous and like quote unquote normal and not be into these things. And so I kind of put it to a side, and then I had a quarter life crisis, and I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with me? What is going on in my life? And I discovered Twitter, and then that happened. And on Twitter,
you make it sound like there's a direct correlation between Twitter and kink.
For me, it was.
Okay, tell me about that.
Like, it became this place where all these things that I had been doing or fantasized about, I was seeing people talk about them, and then it was leading me to read about stuff, and I was reading blogs and articles and going and getting books and all those things. So for me, it was kind of like that, this catalyst into kink. It was when I realized, like, oh, I'm a submissive. I'm really fucking bossy and controlling, but I'm a submissive. Like, oh, this is the thing for me. So yeah, so that's how I identify. I am a submissive. I am a little, sometimes those are interchangeable. Sometimes they go together. I'm a masochist.
Okay, so let's break it all down. Where should we start? Let's start with little, because we've had people talk about age play on this show briefly. We haven't had like a whole episode devoted to age play or littles. So let's define it. Tell people what it's about, why you're into it.
Why I'm into it. So basically, a little is a person who identifies as an age younger than they are. Littles can be anywhere from, there's like adult babies, they fall in that little spectrum, toddlers and teens. So basically you're either, for me, it's that I'm soothed by kind of going into this, I guess, persona. It's really just me. I'm a big kid. I've always been a big kid. It was pointed out to me that I was a little, because I shriek with glee when crayons or glitter show up anywhere. I own a lot of onesies, things like that. But for it's, I find a lot of joy in things that are meant for children, like, you know, toys and just carefree moments, snuggling, teddy bears. What else can I name? All those kinds of things. That's my version. So there's different ranges of this. Like, not all littles want to color. I actually talked to a friend who figured out, she told me that she was a little and I didn't know. She's like, but I'm a teenager and I don't want to fucking color with you. And I was like, oh, okay. Right. So basically, so it's embodying like a younger age, and finding some joy in that.
And so I know a bunch of people who are littles, and I think that to the average non-kinky person, people immediately get freaked out about this.
Right.
So I'm going to channel the freak out question that might be happening out there, which is like, oh my God, the children.
The children.
So I want to say, first of all, these are adults. Right. These are adults role-playing children. The whole thing is consensual.
All consensual, and they are adults. Like, they are adults.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what they may pretend to be. At the end of the day, it doesn't change that they're adults. It doesn't matter if I feel like a 5-year-old, I am a 35-year-old woman.
Got it.
No matter how I feel mentally in a moment. And so some people are littles and it's not even sexual.
Right.
You know,
it's about like dressing up and role playing and coloring and doing all these things and being cared for in a particular way and treated a particular way, but it's not sexual.
But it's not sexual. And so sometimes a lot of my little stuff is non-sexual. It's, if I have a really hard day, it's really helpful for me to, like, my husband knows my things and he's like, do you want to go get a Happy Meal and then go home and take a bubble bath and put on your onesie and I'll brush your hair? Yes. And, you know, it's non-sexual, but it's all this whole other embodiment. It just brings me joy and makes me balanced and happy. And then there are times when I feel a little bit older, but still young, like a sassy teenager who is being very naughty and having sex with older men. Lola isn't just a stage name. It's my legal middle name. My mother named me Lolita.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it's my legal middle name.
Amaze. Okay.
So.
Thanks, Mom, for, you know, calling that out in some psychic other realm.
Right. I always say that. I'm like, did she know? did I just come out? And she's like, this is what's going to be when you're older. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's going to be.
Well, so, I also. So
it, sometimes it's sexual, sometimes it's not, but it's always for consensual for me. And yeah, and no actual children are involved.
I imagine it gives you a lot of freedom, because I think one of the most daunting things about our chronological age is the sort of expectations placed on us to be, quote, adults and, quote, mature. And I feel like sometimes what that means is like taking the fun and the lightness and the humor and the curiosity out of life and behaving in a certain way that adheres to certain standards, that doesn't involve like bursting out laughing or jumping up and down in an ice cream shop, or, you know what I mean? Things that like, right. I would be happy if I saw adults do, but other people would probably shame them.
Right. Yeah. It's freedom in that, because I know this about myself. When somebody does try to shame me, I just give them side eye and keep doing it. Cause I'm like, this is who I am. I don't really care if you don't like it, and it's appropriate for me. I'm not hurting anybody. Please put sprinkles on that ice cream. Thank you.
Right. I don't know why it always like reverse back to ice cream for me, but when I think of what
ice cream is, like pure joy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, mm-hmm. It's childhood. Ice cream man. I still get that, the ice cream man, like the summer is coming, so we're going to start hearing the ice cream man song is going to be in the streets. I still jump up and go look for dollars.
That's really sweet. And then when you're in your sort of little headspace or role, do you not drive or cook or like do things that a grown up, like the grown up you does?
Well, I don't know how to drive anyway, because I'm
in New York City. Right.
Yeah,
now.
I don't need to. Even though everybody keeps telling me I should learn. I tend when I am like fully in that space, I tend to not be doing those things. Somebody else will be doing them. I'm not being very adult. Like I'm not in a little headspace and paying bills or, mm-hmm. yeah, checking emails. Like, yeah, my phone usually will go somewhere else. So that I'm not like going through it, or I don't even want to go through it when I'm in that kind of headspace. So yeah, I'm usually not doing that. It depends on the scenario. When it's just kind of like the everyday, like I slip in and out of little space at home. And like, no, I don't get to conveniently not want to cook or do dishes, because I'm like, no, I'm being a little right now. I can't do those things for you.
I can't reach the sink. What do you mean?
No, I'm still small.
Try to use that excuse.
I do pout. There's pouting, stomping of feet that may take place. Yes, I get very bratty. But it depends on what's going on. Like I've had moments where it's like, nope, today I'm not being an adult at all. I'm not doing these things. But it's just like, my husband knows. He's like, I'm not going to bother you. And then there are times when I have to, but I just kind of make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Within what I have to do.
Okay, we got to take our first break. I want to hear how your little identity intersects with being submissive and intersects with being a masochist. So we're going to talk all about that.
Okay.
And coming up later in the show, I've got your listener questions. And there are a ton of them because we haven't done them in a while. So I'm going to let Lola take the mic and answer your amazing questions, which are always so varied and diverse. Thank you mm-hmm. to my listeners. So let's take a break, hear from our great sponsors, and we will have more with Lola when we come back. Enjoy luxurious sex toy shopping from the comfort of home with the newly launched PleasureChest.com. This redesigned site brings the Pleasure Chest experience directly to you, with specially curated pages for every fantasy and fetish, along with top toy picks from your favorite sex educators, myself included. Check out upcoming workshops and events, as well as their signature Pleasure Ed content, because sex never goes out of style. Don't forget to use the coupon code Tristan at checkout for a free gift with every purchase.
B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase. Are you LGBTQIA? Genderqueer or gender variant, a sex worker, an activist, a polyamorous person? Well, the open list features therapists, sexuality and relationship coaches, traditional and alternative healthcare providers, mediators, lawyers, and more who are poly-aware, kink competent, sex positive, queer affirming, and anti-oppression. They work with clients with alternative sexualities and relationship structures, including open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, swinging, BDSM, and kink. They serve the unique needs of folks who think and live outside the box. To search for a professional in your area, go to the open list at openingup.net. If you're a professional who'd like to be listed, use the coupon code OPENTRIAL for a free 1-year trial.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Today, my guest is Lola, also known as Dirty Lola. And we've been talking about kink. And one of the things you said before the break is that you identified not only as a little, but as a submissive and as a masochist. So I want to talk about your identity as a submissive. For all the strides that we have made in the world, sort of demystifying BDSM and kink and talking openly about it, I still feel like there are people out there, especially people who are assigned female at birth, who really struggle with submissive fantasies, submissive sex, submissive desires, especially if they in their own lives are feminists or are social justice oriented. They really feel conflict about these desires. So right. tell me what submissive means to you and what it looks like for you, and then if you've ever grappled with that conflict.
In the beginning, there was a lot of grappling. Because in the beginning, it was a lot of, for a lot of people, I feel like when you discover kink, you get that, like, oh, how am I supposed to do it? And you come in kind of under the impression that there's, like, the way to do it. And I was very much under that impression when I first started doing it. So I was trying out, I guess, different submissive shoes, as it were, and hating it and having these like whole body, like, oh, I don't like, I want this, but I don't like this. And does this mean I'm not submissive? And does this mean I'm not kinky? Or what does this mean? And why am I having such an adverse reaction to this? Why do I feel like burning him alive right now?
Okay, so give me an example of that. Like, what does that feel like?
I had a 24-hour relationship with a dom when I first started, and that just it consisted of like waking up in the morning and saying good morning, and having to send out a set of photos before a certain time, and then like letting him know when I got on the train and when I got off the train and when I got to my office, and throughout the day. And it was this constant contact and constant checking in and all these things. And even before I was doing sex education, my schedule would always change on a dime and different things would happen. And it was so rigid of what he needed or what he wanted. And what he put upon me and what I felt like I had to do, that it caused a lot of conflict in my life and a lot of problems for me. And it, and that feeling of not having control of even like my day-to-day life was so stifling. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know at that time that that didn't have to be how I submitted and that didn't have to be how I did submission. Mm. So it, that was what really was the problem, because now I've realized, like, for me, submissiveness is a space, and it's only with certain people, and it's not to everyone. It sure as fuck isn't to everyone. And that I, for me, that it's something I feel like if you want this from me, you have to earn it. You know, like, I meet doms all the time, and I don't follow that kind of protocol of call. I'm not going to call you sir. I don't know you. You know, like, we aren't there yet. Just like I would, I'm going to call you by your name. You can call me by my name. Don't call me, you know, baby or whatever, because I'm not yours and you don't know me. But kind of learning that, and that I can still be this person who has control over how I submit and control over my day-to-day life and how I do things, but that I am still very submissive, even though people never think I am, I am. And when I'm with the person or people that I am submitting to, I am very pliable, also sometimes too helpful, and sometimes I can be a bit bossy, but still very submissive. In my own way. And I think that was what was really hard, was finding my own way and being okay with it being my own way and not listening to people who would say, like, oh, well, you're not really a submissive.
Right.
And just, well, fuck you.
And so for you, is it like it happens within a scene, or it might happen over a period of time? Like, something starts and you get into that role.
Right.
But it's not like 24 hours a day.
It's not like 24 hours a day. And there have been people that I've found myself, like, I'm around them and I'm just like, oh, you, yeah, okay. Like, you make me want to just be like, yes, sir. Okay, yes. What can I do for you? Where would you like this? What else could I do? But for in my day-to-day, like, when I am doing submissive stuff, it's usually a scene or some parsed out time that I'm, like, going to go over to somebody's house and we're going to do like a whole evening of fun submissive stuff, and I can let go and I don't have to think about anything or plan it. Like, I'm not in charge of it. I'm just showing up, and that is great for me because I'm always having to be in charge of everything and planning everything. So to be able to just show up somewhere and be told what to do is so delightful from time
to time. It is. I 100% agree with you. After you've been like the bitch boss all day, all week, all month, all year.
Yeah.
It's nice. So you struggled first with kind of like how to be a submissive. Right. Did you have conflict as a woman, as a person of color, acting out submissive fantasies?
Definitely. I still can't identify as a slave. That still makes me feel all kinds of ways. I've processed it, like, why, and I've broken it down, and I've read a lot of other people's experiences and why they do what they do, and, like, I'm not against other people using it, but for me, that's a word that is just like, no, please don't, no, we're not doing that. I'm not calling you master, because I might call you massa, and then we're going to be doing a whole other kind of scene. And I'm going to be getting, like, angry. So I'm not going to do it. So that I kind of steer away from that. It took me a while to get over. I'm like, am I really going to let somebody whip me on a St. Andrew's cross? Mm. Like, am I going to do that? And kind of parsing out those feelings and, like, what I'm into and how I like to interact with things. I still don't do a lot of that. I do more spanking and impact play and things like when I'm on my knees and things like that, because it just feels different for me. And as a woman, I think it took me a bit to kind of do that balance of, like, I think we all, especially if you identify as a feminist, of like, oh, because you're doing this, it makes you not a feminist. And then having to remember that, like, but I am choosing to take this moment to take a break from my hectic life. And I am giving over control to someone I trust and not just anyone. And so all of these things involve me making decisions, which that to shape my own life, which in itself is a feminist act. So remembering those things while I'm being submissive has been very helpful. To now, it's not really an issue. But in the beginning, it was. It was a lot of like pausing and going, well, wait, what does this mean? And like, am I okay with what this means? And that changes. It's like all the things you can read. There's so much out there. There's so much writing and blogs and reading about other people's experiences. And sometimes you need to do that to kind of work out what's going on with you. And sometimes it means finding like that right. You're not going to match up with everybody. Like somebody might write about being a submissive and it's going to be this whole other different way. And you're like, oh, well, I'm not like that at all. And you can take that as like, this means I'm not a submissive, or you can go, oh, this just isn't the way I do it.
Mm. And is there anyone in particular that you recommend, like someone whose writing you really like, or a piece out there that really speaks to you?
I love Melina.
Melina Williams.
Okay. Yes, Melina Williams. Melina Williams Haas.
Melina Williams Haas, right? And yes. She's been on the show,
all the names.
I think three times now. I think she was just on for the third time.
So she's
almost like a regular because usually people aren't on more than once. So
she's awesome, and we bonded over being mistaken for the one for the other.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
We were at They took a picture of me. And I was wearing my name tag with my name that says Lola. And then when they tweeted it out, they put Melina. And I think we were the only two Black women at that particular she. So it made it even worse. And that is how we became friends. That's how we got to know each other.
This is a dumb white person move, everyone. They just did a bit about this at IMSL, right? That there was... there was a performer at IMSL called Alotta Boutte, who's amazing. And then there was an MC, and her name is Bublin Suga. And they came out on stage together on like the Thursday night, and they said, hey, we heard people are confusing us because we're two like big, bold, beautiful, sassy Black women, but we just want to like put it out there who's who, and that you shouldn't actually be confused by us because we're totally different people. It was amazing, sort of like PSA, like right in the middle of a leather contest.
I love it.
Oh my God.
And that was so weird for us because we don't look even remotely like each other.
Well, I was going to say, like, you're not, do you
we're
even
not even
have
the same shade of brown?
I mean, I don't know, but like, you don't,
I'm super light skinned. I'm very.
She has a lot of hair. She has really short hair. Or sometimes she has braids.
I also had a name tag on in the photo. Mm-hmm. So it was one of those moments where you're like, if this is the way we become friends, this is cool. Like, I guess. Our rage together. But I love all of the things. I followed her for a really long time before I got to like actually meet her, and it was very helpful. She's just written a lot about her struggles, which I like, and mm-hmm. her struggles through the different parts of her submissiveness and her service and figuring out like the parts that she likes and she doesn't like. And I like that there were parts she didn't like and it was just like, yeah, I'm not going to do this. That was really freeing to like read that you could do that and still be call yourself a submissive.
Melina has written two chapters in a book that I edited called The Ultimate Guide to Kink, both of which are amazing. And she also has a blog, melina.com. And you can just search for her on my archive of radio shows because she's been the main guest twice. And then she was a guest when I did a roundtable on Black Indigenous people of color in the leather community. She was part of a group of four. So if you guys want to learn more about Melina, you can do that. And we are at our next break. So let's hear from the people who keep the lights on here, including Good Vibration. Oh my God, Tristan, you really just said that. No, including the Pleasure Chest. My brain. I'm my brain. Like I literally got a good night's sleep, so I have no excuse. Like I'm not even low blood sugar. The good Vibrations is an amazing company, and they did used to sponsor my show. But now it's the Pleasure Chest. The Pleasure Chest, and also B-Vibe. Pleasurechest.com, B-Vibe.com, and stay with us more with Lola after the break.
Enjoy luxurious sex toy shopping from the comfort of home with the newly launched PleasureChest.com. This redesigned site brings the Pleasure Chest experience directly to you with specially curated pages for every fantasy and fetish, along with top toy picks from your favorite sex educators, myself included. Check out upcoming workshops and events, as well as their signature Pleasure Ed content, because sex never goes out of style. Don't forget to use the coupon code Tristan at checkout for a free gift with every purchase. Are you LGBTQIA, genderqueer or gender variant, a sex worker, an activist, a polyamorous person? Well, the open list features therapists, sexuality and relationship coaches, traditional and alternative healthcare providers, mediators, lawyers, and more who are poly-aware, kink competent, sex positive, queer affirming, and anti-oppression. They work with clients with alternative sexualities and relationship structures, including open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, swinging, BDSM, and kink. They serve the unique needs of folks who think and live outside the box. To search for a professional in your area, go to the open list at openingup.net. If you're a professional who'd like to be listed, use the coupon code OPENTRIAL for a free 1-year trial. B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Hey, welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are back. And as you know, despite my big flub before the break, the Pleasure Chest is my sponsor, I swear. And I want to tell you, if you've listened to the show before, you know that they have this fantastic Pleasure Ed program where they have free sex ed classes in many of their locations. They're all from 8 to 10 p.m., free, first come, first serve with seating. I want to tell you about some upcoming ones. In Los Angeles, May 7th, OM, Orgasmic Meditation with Leah Mendelson. May 9th, Performance Anxiety Comedy Show. That's the only one that's not free because it's an entertainment show. May 10th, The Ultimate O, Multiple Orgasms with Sarah. In New York City, May 6th, Oral Sex Seduction by Voice with Midori. May 7th, 7 Steps to Reclaiming Your Sexual Pleasure After 50 with the always amazing Joan Price. And May 10th, Awaken Your Senses with Carly. Go to pleasurechest.com and see more about all these events. And you can also check out my educator page where I have curated a page of my 30 favorite products and told you why. And we just shot some videos for those, which will be up soon. And they're really fun and funny. So I've gone through a bunch of Ask Tristan questions. We haven't done the Ask Tristan segment in a while, so they've built up. And because Lola is a sex educator with a pretty varied background, I thought I would propose these to her. And then you basically get two answers for the price of one.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one comes from DC and says, "Hey, I just discovered I like inserting a vibrating bullet anally. My problem is I want to do this safely. Do you know of any material safe bullets I can insert in my butt with a string for easy removal? I don't want an embarrassing trip to the emergency room. Okay, so he's obviously like read something on my website or a book or talked to someone and knows you shouldn't be putting a bullet in your ass because it can get lost.
Even with a string.
Right.
Without a base, without a trace.
Well, so Lola, tell the folks your base of knowledge on this, actually.
Base of knowledge.
Well,
so, I work in a sex shop, too.
Yes.
Anything you put in your butt needs to have some kind of anchor to keep it from sailing off into your nether regions, your colon, because that's where it will go. It will not come back down. And even a string, because if you get really excited and you're playing and you're not paying attention, it could suck that up too. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't be able to retrieve it. There's so many vibrating butt plugs out now. So many. I think
my sponsors makes one. B-Vibe.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, B-Vibe is a really good one because they have all of these different sizes of butt plug and they do different things and you can get different sensations. And the little, if he's using a bullet, then that would be the novice plug size, which is, it's about the size of a bullet.
But that's what I was going to say, is if it's the size and the vibration that's appealing to you, we can get you a butt plug that's basically doing the same thing, but safer.
So, the novice bullet is one of those. And I like it because it has the remote. So you don't have to keep reaching down. I get annoyed by having to reach down and push the buttons on my butt. I'm using a plug.
You're not wrong. It's true.
Or you're trying to cycle through and you're in a really complicated position and you're just this would be easier with a remote. So I like it because it has a remote. But yes, it's a perfect size. And I like it because I am seasoned and I thought it would be too small for me, but because of the vibration, it was perfect. And I felt if it was one of the bigger ones, the vibration might have been a little too much for me. I would have been enjoying the size, but adding vibration would have been a little bit much. So it was nice to have something smaller and then get to play around with the vibration.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, this next one comes from Anonymous. I know it's a college student because they gave me a little background in the beginning. So, dear Tristan, I'm a virgin all the way. We can discuss that in a minute. Not even any basement work or kisses.
Basement.
I feel like walking around in the world dead. I have no attraction to anyone. I don't feel like fucking anyone. I just feel platonic feelings for people. I'm scared that I'm broken and not a whole person. Ooh. Sometimes I can feel other people's sexual attraction towards me, but I don't have any in return for them. I kind of feel empty and shy. A lot of time I feel like a clean slate for everybody. Porn, going to a sex shop, and other stuff like that does not turn me on. The lack of feeling of desire and attraction for others is what worries me. Any advice? I don't want to be a virgin the rest of my life.
Oh, it made my heart squeeze. To me, that sounds like they probably on the asexual spectrum. But if they want, this is the thing. It's do you really want to lose your virginity? Are you wanting to be attracted to someone, or is it just that you would like to just do something so the act of something to make you lose some form of virginity with that and to see if it would make any difference, almost like as an experiment?
I can't quite tell. There's multiple things going on here. Are you not feeling sexual attraction towards other people and worried about that? And so is this just a matter of educating the person and saying there is this thing called asexuality? It's a spectrum. Many people fall on it. We've had someone talk about asexuality on the show. And it does not mean you're broken or wrong. That's just the way that you're wired. Or is it, I am curious, but I don't know what to do with that curiosity. It feels like it's leaning more towards the former.
Right. And then, so then with that, I kind of feel like these are the moments where having somebody that you trust and who can you can be sexual with and it won't ruin a relationship, like maybe a friend or something to experiment with is great. Or someone who won't have the expectation, you know, like somebody who's like, hey, I want to try this thing. There's not this real attraction, but I'm so curious and I want to try something out. Would you be up for doing that with me?
Yeah, like a no pressure situation.
Right, exactly.
Where everyone knows what's going on and it's not like this is going to lead to, you know, love and marriage.
Right.
Right. That sounds good. Okay, this next one comes from Kevin and Bobby. Dear Tristan, my girlfriend and I met you at the Pleasure Chest in Chicago. We chatted about moving to New York City, and now we are here. Aww. We would love to get your recommendations for poly clubs, groups, or parties in New York City.
This is perfect.
This is perfect because this is where you live.
That's
so
where I live.
This is totally in your wheelhouse.
So Open Love New York is a really great resource. They do all kinds of events that center around polyamory. They do poly cocktails, which is like a mixer, like a mix and mingle. You can meet other people. It's not like a sex party, but I like it because, you know, when you're going there, like everybody is either polyamorous or thinking about being poly. Like everybody's on that same page. You're not just like in a random club where you don't know if it's okay to like walk up to somebody and talk about things. What else? They do different talks. They have like guest speakers and they do different things, but that's just like a really good starting point. And they have a Facebook group as well. That's like a really good resource because people post different events and parties and things there.
So it's also, that's good to know. So it's like they have their events, but they also post about other people's events.
Yeah.
That are of interest.
Within the group, people will, like, if it's something that they think the group will be interested in, people will post things in the group, which I like. So you can find out about like different events and things and different blogs, books. You can ask questions. It's like a discussion group, you know, like most of the Facebook.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good place to start for them.
It's a really good place to start.
Okay.
And then there's so many different sex parties popping up, but so many of them you have to like be invited to that I always feel like a jerk telling people about them. You know, well, because you have to like go and like you have to know somebody and then they have to send you the email and then you have to fill out the little application. And that's a lot of places. Kinky Salon, they throw parties and you don't have to do all of that. You do have to wear a costume that goes along with the theme of whatever party they're throwing. And they have like a whole, you know, when you get there, something like you have to kind of like a little mini orientation, but that's actually wonderful and good for people who are new to the scene. So that
might
be a good.
And if you're not that kinky, can you still show up?
Yes.
Because there's a lot of overlap between poly and kink. And so I often recommend kinky things and they say, we're not kinky, but it's like, but there's a lot of overlap.
It's called Kinky Salon there's people that are going to be doing kink things. There are going to be people that are going to be doing sex, and there's just going to be people who are like there to kind of mingle and talk and show off their cool outfit. And that's fine. Like there's space for everybody to do their thing there. And you don't have to do anything that you're not into. Like you're not going to be interrupting the kinky folk by standing and chatting while you have a beverage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, great. That's really good advice. Okay, we got to take another break. Coming up, we're going to find out about a woman who's asking a question about sort of having a new sexual discovery in her marriage and wanting to take it to the next level. And then we're going to talk about a DS relationship dynamic that the listener is confused about. So stay with us more with Lola when we return.
Enjoy luxurious sex toy shopping from the comfort of home with the newly launched PleasureChest.com. This redesigned site brings the Pleasure Chest experience directly to you with specially curated pages for every fantasy and fetish, along with top toy picks from your favorite sex educators. myself included. Check out upcoming workshops and events, as well as their signature Pleasure Ed content, because sex never goes out of style. Don't forget to use the coupon code Tristan at checkout for a free gift with every purchase.
Are you LGBTQIA, genderqueer or gender variant, a sex worker, an activist, a polyamorous person? Well, the open list features therapists, sexuality and relationship coaches, traditional and alternative healthcare providers, mediators, lawyers, and more who are poly-aware, kink competent, sex positive, queer affirming, and anti-oppression. They work with clients with alternative sexualities and relationship structures, including open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, swinging, BDSM, and kink. They serve the unique needs of folks who think and live outside the box. To search for a professional in your area, go to the open list at openingup.net. If you're a professional who'd like to be listed, use the coupon code OPENTRIAL for a free 1-year trial. B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Today we've been talking with sex educator Lola, and we've got another listener question for us both to tackle. Okay, this is a long one, so hopefully you can follow it.
Okay.
It's coming from Anonymous. I am married, and so far minus a small 3-month period, I'm in a monogamous relationship. I grew up and still am Catholic, and you can probably guess I grew up in a sex-negative world. For the first 7 years of my marriage, I hated sex. I just felt as though it was my wifely duty, and it was a normal thing to hear from all the other moms I knew. I started to get really sad about that and decided there had to be a better way. I really started doing research a few years ago and encouraged my husband to help me with this. My husband in his youth had all kinds of wild sexual adventures. And well, he's a man, so he would be content just to have the same sex with me every night in our bed. Once I started exploring more, I realized that I want a more fulfilling sex life. I want the most fulfilling sex life I can have. I also love women, well, one woman in particular, and had a brief relationship with her. My husband knew and was happy for me. Her husband went a little crazy, so we can't see each other any longer. I'd really like to meet someone else of the female persuasion. This is no easy feat in a small-minded town where I live, but mostly I'm very unbrave, which isn't a word, when it comes to saying what I want or even initiating sex. I want more than anything to be able to be a fantastic communicator in the bedroom. I want to be able to give another woman pleasure. I want to have a threesome with my husband. And my husband's done all this before, but he's wavering now because his moral compass is telling him it's not right for his wife to be into this. But I reject that. He's Catholic, and the older he gets, he seems to get more rigid about sexuality. When here I am, I feel like I'm at my sexual peak, wanting to explore and experience things I've never done. And now he's Mr. Goody Two Shoes. How do I get brave? How do I meet another woman to explore this with? How do we navigate this and still live our religious lives?
Woo. All right.
I saved the big ones for you.
That was, whoa. Okay. This is like in pieces. Okay. So I am one of those people who believes that you can be a sexual being and still believe in God, and that sex, being into sex and wanting sex and being into all these different sexual things doesn't mean you're a sinner and it doesn't make you a bad person. Because God wants you to be happy. And and if you're happy doing these things, then there you are. So maybe that's one thing, is to maybe try to focus on it for yourself, reconciling what, how you feel about your religion and your sex. And that's one thing that'll help. Two, with the husband, that's a little harder, bit harder to do. I guess it's, you have to be on the same page. Because it's not going to help for you to want to do these things and then your husband's not into it, because then you're just going to have a scenario where you put somebody else through what you've already gone through. Where if you, you know, if he starts going a little bit nutty about your relationship with someone and you have to end it because of that, that's really sucky and not fair. So I think that's something that the two of you need to work out and figure out if you can work it out. And maybe it has, it might not necessarily be about him being rigid or feeling really religious. It could be about him feeling like you're changing and you're not the person that you used to be, which sounds like it. Or that he may lose you to somebody new. And those are all like fears that can be valid. But if, of course, you know how you're feeling and where you are in all of this. So being able to reassure him that that's not what you're trying to do would be helpful. And also, I guess, if you want him to be a part of this, making him a part of it. I'm not sure if he was so much a part of it when with the relationship with the other woman. So maybe going forward, if that is something that you are actually into and not just doing because you want him to be on board, because that's not going to end well either. But if you are, if you really want him to be a part of it, and maybe having him be a part of it and a part of the, whether it be you finding a third or going on adventures, because if you live in a small town, your best bet is to leave and go, if you can, and go somewhere.
Yeah. Find adventures that aren't tied to the place where you live in town. Right.
Yeah. I always say that when people are like looking for kink or whatever it is, if you live in a small-minded, small town, it's best to go to, if you can find an event, there's all kinds of events all over the country where you're not going to be in your hometown, where you can meet people that are out. And yes, it means probably a long-distance relationship if something clicks, but it's not in your town and you don't have to worry about that. You know, you'd be leaving town to indulge in whatever you would like to indulge in.
I mean, I think it's important. The thing that strikes me about this notion that he doesn't think his wife should be into this, right? And that there's some sort of morality here kind of holding him back. So it's not like he hasn't experienced some of these fun things or wasn't into them when he was doing them, but now he's like, oh, now we're married. So the lock comes down. So I would encourage him to unpack that and what that means to him, because I think she's not saying in this letter, hey, I want to ditch my husband and be out of here.
Right.
She's saying, I want to explore all these things, but like, I would like to do them with my husband.
Right.
So I feel like there's not much to reconcile in terms of spirituality. I mean, except for the intense anti-sex stance that the Catholic Church takes. But I mean, you're not saying, I want to become a hedonist and, you know, and fall from God or something. You're just saying like, hey, I want to explore these sexual things. Right. And it sounds like with your husband and maybe some other people, but as long as everyone's consenting to it, I think that's fine. I want to get to our last question and we only have a few minutes. Okay. This is from Kenny. I was having a messaging back and forth with a guy on Grindr, and it came out that he is in an owner/object relationship dynamic. I'm having an oddly strong, visceral, negative reaction to it, and I'm not sure why. Do you have any resources that I could read in order to learn more and expand my understanding of what this even is?
Ooh.
Mm. Owner object.
I don't know if I have heard it put like that. I guess it's just a DS dynamic.
Yeah. I mean, it's some form of dominance and submission, right? One considers themselves the owner, the other the object. Right.
Right. Hmm. Well, Lord, I don't know.
I mean, one thing that I think is interesting about this is I appreciate that Kenny says, like, he's having a visceral reaction, but instead of being like, this guy's fucked up, you know, right. he's saying, like, okay, I want to interrogate that within myself. So I would keep digging into and becoming curious about what freaks you out about it. And it might be the word object. Mm-hmm. And the sense that if someone is being objectified or made into an object, that they don't have agency or power, or they like to be treated like a thing or like a sex toy. Because that can be a really hot fantasy for people. It can be a way that people express their submissiveness, is this idea that they're a sex object, right? And that their owner, it, as their dominant, can do whatever they want with them, have their way with them, sort of sexually use them in a consensual way.
Right.
And obviously that's a hot fantasy that we've all heard before. So I'm just curious about what about that sort of freaks you out, if you could get more curious about that.
Or if there's just not an understanding of fetishes too. Like if it's just lack of knowledge, and then being told that, I could totally get that being like, what?
And I think owner could push some people's buttons as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not sir, it's not master, it's owner, which conveys ownership and a certain level of like intense authority over another human being.
Right.
Which is, again, one form of dominance and submission that can be consensual and hot and fun.
But especially on a dating app, I could get where that would feel like, wait, do I have to ask somebody else permission to date you?
But that's a good question. Like, could you engage this person and just ask them questions and say, hey, like, I know a fair amount about BDSM, or I know, you know, I've dated some people that are kinky, or I'm a little bit kinky, but I've never heard of this particular relationship configuration. Will you tell me what it's like, what the parameters are like, what the protocols are like, how you're hooking up with other people fits into it? I think it's okay, as long as that person's willing to engage you, to ask these questions.
And it sounds like they will. If they told you any of this at all, that means that they're probably waiting for those questions.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, we're out of time. Just like that.
Fast.
I gotta speed through. Thank you so much, Lola, Dirty Lola.
I had a great time.
I just want to call you Lola, Dirty Lola. Lola. Okay, so Lola's a storyteller, a sex educator, creator and host of the live sex Q&A Go-Go show and podcast, Sex Ed A Go-Go. You can find out more at sexedagogo.com. On Twitter, at Dirty Lola and at Sex Ed A Go-Go. On Tumblr, Dirty Lola 69. And on Instagram, Dirty Lola. I want to thank everyone who makes the show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. You know, we originally had Lily Puckett from Teen Vogue scheduled on this particular show, and she got sick, but we will be rescheduling her. So for those of you who want to hear Lily from Teen Vogue, and Teen Vogue is on the cutting edge right now, people.
Yes, they are.
That's going to be rescheduled. Tune in next Friday, same time, same place. And until then, catch me on my social media, Tristan Taramino, across all social media, and of course the Twitter account, at Sex Out Loud Radio. Good night.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.